The fourth quarter upcoming. The Jags trail 13-0.
The moon is going to move, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going
to
be back.
They hand it to Ivory, picks his way to the right side, into the end zone for the touchdown. He lowered his shoulder and got it in from a yard and a half away, and Jacksonville is on the board. 2:58 to play, second down and 10. Dropping his Bortles, looks, fires it downfield to Aurelius Band, makes a body catching, gets up. Aurelius on his feet to the 25, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Aurelius Band! Shotgun for Brian Hoyer. Two left, one right. Four-man front for Jacksonville. They blitz this time. He drops. Fires to the middle of the field. The ball's knocked away by Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey knocks it away from Alshon Jeffrey. And the Jags are going to take over on down.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Was that Frank the Tank right there, Tony?
That was.
We're going streaking. We got a two-gamer, Tyler Devitt. I tell you, that may be the highlight of the week right there. Right there, it's Victory Monday once again for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And what will Tyler put together? And he's done another fine job telling the story in about 60 seconds of audio clips from yesterday. Aurelius Ben, you're probably right, Tony. Maybe the least likely guy, certainly among them, to make a play.
I mean, if you were going to pick among the offensive skill position guys, it's probably him or Ben Koyak.
Right. Why would he even be out there, right?
Right.
I mean, but you had a couple of deep patterns.
And I honestly, I had at least three tweets that were sent to me during like the progression of that whole thing, where when Allen Robinson came off, I had three different people send me something going, why is Allen Robinson coming off the field? And the guy who had walked onto the field for Allen Robinson is Aurelius Ben, and he makes a 51-yard touchdown catch. I'm not saying that Allen Robinson couldn't have done the same thing,
right?
But it was just incredible that it happened to work out the way that it did.
But guys, when they sprint down the field, they sometimes come out for the next play. I mean, that's what happens all around the National Football League.
Sure.
Bottom line, you can nitpick a lot of decision-making in this game. You can nitpick the decision-making on that first Jaguar drive. I don't even know if it's nitpicking. I think it's justified criticism of the play calling there.
Oh, that's just us layman fans. We don't understand the intricacies of football.
Maybe not. I must not. I still don't understand the intricacies of football after 48
years. Because you can't possibly just put Julius Thomas or Allen Robinson on that side if that's what you wanted, was to get a one-on-one matchup. I mean, it had to be Mercedes Lewis, I guess.
I guess, right? And you can't – it's still, even with that matchup, about a foot and a half from the end line,
right,
give it to the guy that you signed – strictly for this role, right? I mean, tell me that wasn't a big part of it, was just the short yardage. Look, you like, you know, Chris Ivory's ability to handle a workload and wear down the defense and all these things, but here you've got your hammer in the backfield, and he's actually moving the ball a little bit on the ground. It was very reminiscent of the Super Bowl with Seattle versus New England.
Yeah.
Just a different timing aspect to it.
The only difference was there was no timing.
There was no
for
rush,
the Jags,
right?
But, to worry about.
I mean, much like Marshawn Lynch ran the ball down the one, and you're thinking, man, they're just going to almost walk into the end zone here if they hand it to Chris Ivory. Chris Ivory had that run to set up the Jags inside the one, and then even after the incomplete, Tony, they line up in shotgun, which I didn't like. Just get under center. At least give them the threat of the quarterback sneak so they got to pack it in. Maybe you're going to run it off tackle. Maybe there are a lot of different things you can do. Bottom line, they didn't score. I think it was a 50-50 blame. Who do you put the blame on in the interception? I put a little on both.
Mostly on Robinson.
Mostly on Robinson.
Yeah, mostly on Robinson. I mean, that's a play where I get it. The ball was wobbling a little bit. It was a little bit behind him, maybe, but you want to throw it low and give your guy a chance to catch it going to the ground. That's what Blake Bortles did.
I had no issue with the low aspect of it.
And Robinson didn't make the play.
Right, he didn't make the play. I still think it was from a guy throwing it 10 yards away. I mean, you got to be a little sharper than that. Maybe I'm too critical of Blake, but either way.
And I thought the same thing later in the game. I mean, I know I've heard some of the criticism on the third down pass to Allen Hurns that he threw it too hard. I don't buy the BS of you throw it too hard, 12 yards downfield to an NFL receiver. That's lame. Catch the ball if it hits you in the hands.
You were in here. I said the same exact thing the moment they threw it. He put too much mustard on it. What are you talking about? It's not like he was 3 feet away from him. He had plenty of time to adjust to that ball. But regardless, those are some of the nitpicks. Bottom line, Jags win two in a row. And what a critical stretch of the season this is, because you feel like you've got some teams that you match up pretty well against. You've got 12 days to play three games. You got the first one out of the way on the road. Now you get to come back home. You got the other team that just got beat down, the Oakland Raiders, and boy, Kansas City really ran the ball well against that Raider defense. They've got to come all the way across country for that early body clock kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Tennessee, which is, again, I mean, the importance of that game is astronomical right now because it's a division game and you're alive, man. We would have liked for the Colts to have beaten the Texans, held on to beat the Texans last night.
Unfortunately, their defense is still their defense.
Right, but and some players on their own team grumbling about the fact that they got a little too comfortable with a 2-touchdown lead in that game last night. Regardless, you can't do anything about that. Well, there you go.
It showed up.
Thank you very much.
It took three quarters, but it showed up.
That tells you everything from Derek Schultz, who covers the team personally up in Indianapolis. The defense is dog crap. But, hey, you know what? That's their issue to worry about today. We're going to talk Jaguar football with you. If you want to get in, question of the day is this on social media. You can also call in and answer it if you like. But what's your biggest – other than the outcome of the game, the win is the biggest positive, right? The fact that they won the football game, granted. So – beyond the actual result of the game, what is your biggest positive you took away from the game? What's the biggest negative you took away from the game? And we're not trying to dwell on negatives. We're looking at things to say, hey, here's an area where they can improve upon. Glad they got the win anyway. Good to not play your best and win in the National Football League against anybody. But let's look at some areas that they can tighten up and we think they can improve upon going forward. So you can weigh in at MD_1010XL or at 1010XL Fat Tony on Twitter. You can go to the Jaguars Today Facebook page and comment there. You can call in at 641-1010 and also on the same number for the text line driven by Duval Ford. Of course, social media question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. And it is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's a lot of sponsors. Yes, it is, because a lot of people are sponsoring and supporting the coverage of the Jacksonville Jaguars and hopefully continue to cover more wins like we saw, hopefully a little bit easier than we saw this week. But I'll take it regardless. So get on board. Let's talk Jags. John Osier will come by a little bit later on in the show. You'll hear a little bit from the Jaguars post game as well. And today and Thursday, but today we've got a pair of tickets that we're going to give away to Jags Raiders coming up. The winner will be qualified for a dinner with Cinderic Marks at Three Forks and a set of Jaguar-themed rings, all courtesy of Global Diamonds. You'll be in the drawing for that. One person's going to win that grand prize, but somebody's going to win a pair of tickets to Jags Raiders later on in the show today, so be listening for your chance to do exactly that. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt back at 1010XL World Headquarters. We're live at EverBank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at EverBank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Fourth and 10 Bears, 1:03 to play. Howard motions back to the backfield. Shotgun for Brian Hoyer. Two left, one right. Four-man front for Jacksonville. They blitz this time. He drops. Fires to the middle of the field. The ball knocked away by Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey knocked it away from Alshon Jeffrey, and the Jags are going to take over on down.
There you go, Jalen Ramsey coming up with the game-clinching play. Aurelius Bend, the game-changing play, but regardless, that was a massive play by Jalen Ramsey. I just got to get this off my chest, Tony, and we'll move on this. In terms of Jalen Ramsey's performance yesterday, What did I say last week about where I think a year from now Jalen Ramsey would be perceived among cornerbacks in the National Football League?
Top five-ish,
right? In the entire league, I think I see that in Jalen Ramsey. Had a terrific start to his rookie season. He, by his own admission, after the game yesterday, said, you know what, Alshon got the better of me in the first half yesterday.
Yep.
And I think he clearly did. And I think he used some – Alshon's not old, but he used some veteran savvy on him a couple of times. And Jalen was hyped up to play him. There was a lot of talk that during the week he was asking, give me Jeffrey, don't give me help. I love that.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay? Absolutely love that in a cornerback. Made a big-time play at the most crucial point. And, yes, you know what? We always talk about cornerbacks have to have no memory. You get beat a few times, you come back, and you forget about it, and you make the next play. And that's what he did. I think Jalen Ramsey's a phenomenal player. But I don't think he had his best game. In fact, he heard Fred Taylor say yesterday on the postgame, he had his worst game out of five. I mean, it's not a big sample. But in the end, he made the play that helped seal the victory for the Jags. Some people cannot handle even the slightest hint of criticism towards anyone, apparently, but particularly towards Jalen Ramsey. If that's the case, if you think we're just going to, you know, climb a rainbow after every Jags win and not look at the things that are correctable. You know what? You win 17-16, ugly, 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 in the playoffs, I'm not going to sit there and critique you, okay? Because you're in the playoffs and you're advancing, and that's all that matters. But you got a lot more games to play.
Yeah.
And I think he himself would tell you that his performance in the first half isn't up to the standard that he is setting for himself right now. The fact that he came back and Alshon Jeffrey was not much of a factor at all in the second half is a credit to him. But don't get upset that these guys are going to get critiqued for the mistakes they make. It's great. Yes, he made a great play and played well, I think, in the second half. And I think he's an outstanding player. But he didn't have a perfect game yesterday. That's the bottom line.
No, nobody did. And look, he stepped up in the second half. Alshon Jeffrey had 6 catches for 90 yards in the first half. He came out after the game and he said that he told the coaches early in the week, I want Alshon Jeffrey. I know the ball is going to be going there. I want that guy. I'm going to shut down that guy. And then he was telling his teammates, according to Jalen Ramsey, not the coaches, he was telling teammates, the safeties, don't give me help. You play aggressive somewhere else. I got this guy. Is essentially what Jalen Ramsey was saying, which I love that attitude. And in the first half, he was getting torched. I mean, just torched. And it wasn't just, you know, you mentioned the comeback, you mentioned the double move. It was, he was getting out physicaled by a guy that I don't think any of us expected him to be out physicaled by anybody in this league, even as young and as new as he is to the NFL. The second half, Alshon Jeffrey caught 1 pass for 3 yards.
There you go.
He was a non-factor for the Bears offense in the second half, and I don't necessarily think it's because they didn't want to keep him going
in fact,
in the
I
second
think
half.
They wanted to make a concerted effort to get him the ball
right.
yesterday.
And I think Jalen Ramsey took it away. And look, I don't know. I haven't watched the tape, and you can't tell on TV copy if they're sending help Jalen's way in the second half. I don't know. My sense wasn't that they were doing that. It was just Jalen played better. And then in the biggest moment of the game, for the second consecutive victory, a defensive back came up and made a play. Jalen's probably even more impressive than the one that was made a couple weeks ago by Josh
Johnson. Difficult play.
Yeah.
I mean, to come around the body, not interfere, swat that thing down. Look, if Dwayne Grotz in his time here had the exact same performance that Jalen Ramsey had yesterday, I probably would have been raving about it because it would have been one of the better games that Dwayne Grotz ever played in a Jaguar uniform. That, to me, is a compliment to Jalen Ramsey. He's being held to a higher standard, and he should be. He'll hold himself to a higher standard. This guy's the number 5 overall pick, and he looks every bit of it, okay? Just don't get twisted if you hear a little constructive criticism. I'm not saying I could do a better job, but my eyes tell me what happened in the first half wasn't great.
I guarantee it's going on in the building, too, so... I mean, they're not going to – no one's letting Jalen off the hook for the first half.
Of course not.
There are things you have to learn from in those moments. Fortunately, Jalen seems to be a good enough player that it took 12 minutes for him to recover. I mean, it was just halftime and he came out and it was like, all right, he's Jalen again.
Right.
Like, this is what we expect him to be. And for a rookie to be able to do that is doggone impressive.
It is impressive. All right, we'll get to these phone calls in just a moment. I want to remind you, we are going to give away a pair of tickets to Jags Raiders. And what we're going to do is we're going to take, let's say, caller number 4 when you hear this lovely voice. Not this time, but the next time you hear it after this, sometime in the next hour and a half.
You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
That's our girl right there, the Steal the Show lady, okay? So the next time you hear that phrase uttered by her in the next 90 minutes on this program, if you're the 4th caller at 641-1010, you will win a pair of tickets to go see Jags Raiders this upcoming weekend at Everbank, and you'll also be qualified to perhaps win a dinner with Sindarik Marks at 3 Forks and a set of Jaguar-themed rings, all courtesy of Global Diamonds. So, listen in for that opportunity. 641-1010. I believe we have Sonny and Nocatee who's going to lead us off this morning. Good morning, Sonny. How are you? Oh, I'm sorry. We got Kevin in Savannah. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys.
Who do we have, Tyler?
Hey, this is Kevin in Savannah.
It is Kevin. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. I'd like to make 2 points, if I may. I think it's more the norm than the exception in the NFL. I mean, they set the run up with the pass. I mean, Tom Brady has done it forever. They don't try to set up the pass with the run, and I think it's not working trying to set up the pass with the run, so I think they need to get away from that. And Greg Olsen is just – I'm so tired of seeing a running play up the middle, not even a stretch play or anything, on first and 20. We had first and 20 from our own 15-yard line. We went up the middle, no gain. The very next play, Bortles drops back with a play fake. Now, who do they think they were fooling with a play fake on second and 20 from your own 15-yard line? I mean, some of his calls, they just blow my mind. So, I appreciate you guys.
All right, thank you, man. Look, as far as running it up the middle, what you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, I think, on some of this, Tony. What have we been saying about the way they've been using Chris Ivory? Why are you running him to the outside? Why are you running stretch plays with him, right? He is a north-south runner. You saw that one decisive plant-the-foot cut that he made in the first half and got north-south so quickly. And when he squares his shoulders, that's when he's the most dangerous because he's so physical. He's going to run through arm tackles. He's going to knock guys back off the ball. He's going to lean forward. And so, look, in terms of a play fake, are you fooling anybody in that circumstance? Probably not, okay? But in terms of actually just on first down, running it up the middle, well, if it doesn't work on that occasion, doesn't mean you should never run the ball between the tackles again? I mean, they're trying to run the football. And you can talk about set up the run with the pass. And I'm not saying that they're running well enough to set up anything with the run. But the quarterback needs to be sharper if you're going to be setting up the run with the pass as well, because right now I don't think that defenses are fearing the Jaguars offense that much at all, Tony. If they can feel like they can take away the chunk plays down the field, I think teams look at this offense right now and wonder, can they consistently drive it down the field time after time and beat us? And yesterday the answer was no, at least until the fourth quarter. But they pulled out the victory, but I'm not going to go crazy about one run up the middle on first down if that wasn't successful.
No, I'm not going to either, but I will say when they ran the ball on first and 20 right up the middle, I was going, ugh. Like in my own head, I was kind of going, ick at that point, but everything in the offense was kind of falling apart. Again, they did not respond well from the adversity that they were facing after throwing that interception on the opening drive, and it felt like a really confident football team early on in that game. I think the defense even came out maybe a little bit too excited. Gave up a couple first downs on that first drive, but eventually forced the punt and got the ball back for the offense. And they just went straight down the field on that first drive, and you could feel the level of confidence growing. I had been in the locker room all week. That felt like the team that I had been talking to all week that really believed this was the next step they were going to take in this whole process. And it's a little disturbing, I guess, to watch them have one play go wrong and it all just vanish like that. Like any of the confidence that you felt like they had on that side of the ball was gone. They have to figure out some way to get this running game going. And to that degree, I do agree with the caller. I've been calling for it basically since the season started. I think they do need to throw the ball a little bit more to set up the run, because that's the only thing I feel like they haven't tried to get the run going, is just to let Blake try to settle into the game early. Now, look, I get it. Blake hasn't been good, so I'm not saying that I'm absolutely 100% sure this is what's going to get the run game going, but I know coming out and pounding it isn't doing it. And what the plan they have right now isn't working to get the run game working. So I think they need to try something different. The only option I see is to try to let them pass a little bit more early to get back to the run a little bit later on. They just haven't done it to this point.
Someone on the text line who asked, 90 yards is getting torched? Yes, it is, if it happens in one half. I'm sorry,
yeah,
it is.
It's a half of football.
Right, in a half of football, that is getting torched if you're supposed to be a shutdown corner.
And it was all on him. It wasn't like it was ever on anybody else in that first half. That was all on Alshon one-on-one, mano-a-mano with Jalen Ramsey.
Again, the people are a little too sensitive.
Second half,
apparently,
he killed Alshon in the second half. One for three is owning a guy.
Right. But, all we talked about was, did he play well in the first half? No. Not in my estimation. He didn't in his own estimation. Listen to what he said after the game.
He got beat.
All right, let's go to David in Orange Park next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, guys. Gus, he's driving me crazy. To see the team, and you guys know more about football than me, but every time I've seen this team go into a two-minute offense, they fare well. And I would like to see them go into a two-minute offense in the beginning of the game instead of at the end of the game. Maybe get up, you know, do it until you get up two scores and then drop back to a more conventional style of offense and, you know, continue to play that way. Every time you get behind, go back into your two-minute offense. Because, I mean, from what I saw yesterday, the defense was demoralized. And as soon as we go into the two-minute offense in the fourth quarter, we score the touchdown. As soon as we score that touchdown, our defense comes out on the field and stops them three and out. So that's what I see. I see the defense getting demoralized because we can't move the ball. So in my estimation, if we go into a two-minute offense, get up a couple of scores, and then the ebb and flow of the game, the defense is more apt to get better stops. I'll take your comments.
All right, thank you for the call, David. Look, I'm going by what the team's point has been on this, I think, Tony, which is that if you sprinkle it in fine, and they don't sprinkle it in probably enough for a lot of fans' tastes, and maybe our taste as well, depending on circumstance, but if you do go to that hurry up, you're already looking in the first half at an 18-12 deficit in time of possession. If you go to that hurry up and you go a quick three and out, and you got a defense who, while they've been keeping them mostly out of the end zone, but they've been allowing some long drives or on the field for a collective period of time, 18 minutes in total in the first half, and that was only on three possessions, maybe four, for the Chicago Bears, then that's the idea. You don't want to do a quick turnover or a quick three and out. Their idea has been sometimes, hey, if we can get a first down, then maybe we can play a little bit of tempo. We said to what Gus Bradley has talked about over the last couple of years. Look, bottom line, we all have eyes, David. We all see that they seem to do better in a hurry-up type scenario. They probably could use it a little bit more even than they do, but I think that is the rationale, at least, for not doing it more widespread.
That probably is their rationale. Like I said, I'd like to see them start a game doing it just once.
Because when you start a game, your defense is rested.
Yeah, just to see what it looks like and to see if it really is. Blake is just more successful running that style of offense. They haven't tried it yet. And look, yesterday, I don't know if that's even the game to complain about it. They drove down to the 1 yard line on the first drive of the game. Their plan going into the game worked. It was just it happened in the interception with a ball that could have been caught in the end zone for a touchdown. The plan early yesterday worked. It was that it fell apart after that. I was a little bit surprised they didn't try anything to try to kickstart it after that.
By the way, despite the long time-consuming drives, I thought the defense played pretty well throughout. You know, overall, some individual, as we pointed out, Ramsey didn't, for a shutdown corner, didn't have his best game for a half. Okay, so there is some room to critique, but overall, I mean, it was 13 points they allowed going into the fourth quarter. It wasn't like the Bears were going up and down the field. The Bears started the second half with 2-3 and outs of their own as well. It was just back and forth in that regard. All right, we got to take a timeout. It is a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. We'll keep the phone lines open to you at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars came back yesterday after struggling in the first half. Jacksonville stole the 17-16 victory from the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field. After the game, head coach Gus Bradley says a win's a win, but the poor first half performance can't happen.
There's a lot of messages in this game, an ability to come back. The first half, that wasn't us. It's not acceptable how we played in the first half. And we got a second half to come out and change that. So hopefully we can build off of that. It's a gut check time for us that second half, and our guys came through.
This has been Jaguars Daily brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at EverBank Field, this is Jaguars Today.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, we continue along. Jaguars today, victory Monday for the Jags, 17-16 over the Bears, 2-3 now on the season with a chance to even the record against a team that's currently holding down a bye. If the playoffs started today, the Oakland Raiders would be the 2 seed despite their loss yesterday in the AFC. Tony, the Patriots would be the top seed in the conference, and with them getting set to face the Steelers, likely without Ben Roethlisberger, I got a pretty good hunch they're going to get to 6-1 this upcoming week.
Probably could.
So let's knock the Raiders down a peg this week. This one on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Hey, Mike, what game did you watch? They went 3 and out 4 times in a row. Anyway, what's the difference? I think this is in reference to why the Jags are not playing more up-tempo. Again, you're telling me things like, I don't know what's happening. I'm telling you what the team has said is their reason for not doing it. You know, so what show are you listening to,
yeah,
I guess would be my question.
I disagree with the team.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. But when I say, here's what the team says.
Oh, I know.
That's what I'm explaining, what the team's rationale for doing is. By the way, they went 3 and out 3 times in a row. You know, never mind the accuracy aspect of the whole
thing. At least to start the second half.
Right. Well, I don't count a kneel down as a 3 and out.
No.
At the end of the first half.
But they had a 3 and out before that.
They did not have a 3 and out before that. They had a 6-play drive.
Oh. How about that?
In which they ended up punting. They had a 3 and out prior to that one, but they did not have 4 3. But my point is, if you're going to critique and then say, here, let me shove this stat in your face, what game are you watching? At least get it right. I mean, it took me 2 seconds to look up that you were wrong on that that aspect of it. So listen to what I'm saying. I'm not telling you why they should not be going up-tempo. I'm telling you what the team says the rationale has been. I even said, I'd like to see, depending on the circumstance, them get a little more up-tempo regardless. Whatever. I'm not going to get too hung up on this. I probably have already. Let's move along. Let's go to Theo in Arlington next up at 641-1010. Good morning, Theo.
Good morning, gentlemen. What a game. Happy to get a win instead of another loss.
I agree with you.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of things they can improve on. I'd rather take an ugly win than a blowout loss. So, is there things they can improve on? Yes. For one, they got to be more disciplined. They got to cut down the penalties. Too many will cost you. And number two, I think Bortles can improve on his decision-making. For example, on that first drive, I'm thinking, why didn't they run the ball? Use Ivory. He's the pounder, so he could probably bowl over 3-4 guys. And I really like Jalen Ramsey. He's going to be so good. When he told the coaching staff, give me Jeffrey, I want to cover him. That shows me that he's a leader and he's a rookie. So he really, really stepped up in the second half. Will he get towards that time? Absolutely. I really think he's going to be a great player. And let's take down the Raiders. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Thank you, Theo. But again, what do you think about the penalty situation, Tony? Compared to where they've been this year?
I thought it was the cleanest game they've played this year.
5 penalties in the whole game. I mean, yeah, would I like it to be even better? Sure, who wouldn't? But
I think the team coming out of this game that is complaining about the penalties on their team is the Chicago Bears.
I would agree.
And I think it's pretty easily the Bears. I get early in the game, they had the holding, which that was a tough call, man. Like, when they showed the replay, I was like, I don't see what they saw.
Right.
But the guy kind of tripped over his own guy, and it looked like he might have grabbed him. So they called the holding there. They didn't call the holding on Julius Thomas downfield that would have given the Jags a first down at one point there. But, look, I think the Bears, in a game, if you want to complain about penalties in a game where the Jaguars probably don't win the game if the officials don't throw some of the flags they threw on the Chicago Bears. The biggest one being that face mask that they called on Blake
Bortles.
But
Bortles. I thought that was a legit call.
It's the right call, but I've seen that not be called on Blake. You know, and so it was one of those where it's like, oh, it's refreshing to see them call that penalty. But if there's a team that's complaining about what their team did from a penalty perspective in that game, it ought to be the Bears pretty solidly.
All right, Theo, thank you for the call. Let's move on to Richard on the north side next up. What's up, Richard?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
Just want to address the fans that's getting on to y'all about Ramsey. Look, people, y'all got to realize that this is these people's job, and they're actually giving Ramsey a compliment. Yes, he played a bad first half, but he came out in the second half in Florida State fashion and finished the game. Get off these people's backs and just be happy that we got players that can come out in the second half and finish the game. Please.
Yeah, Richard, don't worry. But look, trust me. I you know, if they're on my back, I'll shake them off my back.
Yeah, who cares?
You know, I appreciate the sentiment, but it is a compliment to Jalen Ramsey. We expect a lot out of Jalen Ramsey already.
I was surprised. After like watching that first half, I was like, what is this?
Right.
What is happening to this guy?
Did all last week, we not say, I thought Alshon Jeffrey's going to have a lot of problems with Jalen Ramsey. Tell me the area where Alshon Jeffrey has the advantage. And yeah, he is a little bit thicker, but as far as cornerbacks go, Jalen Ramsey is as big and powerful as almost any cornerback in the league, maybe as big and powerful as any cornerback in the league. Again, you're right, Richard. It is a compliment because we expect a lot out of him. He expects a lot out of himself.
He does.
We're not trying to hold him to an unfair standard. We're saying that, wow, this guy looks like he is legitimately what they thought he was, arguably the best position player, non-quarterback in this draft this year, and he's shown up and looked that way already in the first month of the season. Let's get Joe Cab on the north side. What's up, Joe? How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. Satisfied with the win. Now, what the good about it is the resilience to keep battling till the clock is over with. I love the D. The D is doing their job, but at Bortles and the play calling is holding us back. It's keeping us from being that elite team. We just need Bortles to step it up a lot. I think we're trying to ask a short man to get tall.
I hope that's not the case. I hope I saw a lot out of him last year, Tony, and I think it is disappointing because it doesn't seem like at this point, through five games at least, that he's taken a step forward this year.
No.
I can't look at an area where he really has improved in his play. Doesn't mean, you know, five games doesn't dictate your season or your career either. So the fact that he's been able to, for the most part, avoid turnovers. I mean, you had the interception. You can argue, maybe it's 70-30 on Allen Robinson.
Sure, the fumble was bad.
The fumble was bad because he had no pocket awareness or no sense. I know he's out of the pocket. You get what I'm saying. But, you know, overall, he hung in there. He made plays. They won the last couple of games, and you'll take that right now. I mean, is it perfect? No, you'd rather have the best scenario. Certainly, you take a win, any win over any loss, but the best scenario is play well and win, right? They played not nearly their best and they won. You can take a positive out of that.
No, you can. And I think when you're talking about play calling and Blake right now, where the issue is, I think it's a bit of a chicken or the egg argument at this point. I don't know how I would call a game for Blake Bortles at this point. You know, I mean, I don't think it's easy for Greg Olsen to figure out what to do at this point with the way that Blake Bortles has been playing to this point in the 2016 season. He was not good.
Look at the one play when they were in the red zone yesterday, right? When the pocket was clean as can be, they had some of the best protection all day.
Fading out to the left
and
for no reason.
He just drifted out to the left, which cut down at least half the field of his options. He needs to just stand back there and trust himself. And when you're not playing, when you're not throwing it as accurately as you'd like, it's tough, I think, to trust yourself to hang in there. He's trying not to make the wrong play instead of just playing freely and trying to make the right play, if that makes sense.
I hope something loosens it up for him here, because we did see a much looser Blake Bortles in 2015 than we have thus far in 2016.
No
I don't
doubt.
Know what's going on.
But it's nice to overcome that and still get a W. All right, coming up, John Osier will join us in about 10 minutes. Also, we've got the State in Football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. Time for more of your calls as well. It's 641-1010. Positives, negatives, what were the biggest ones? Other than the final score of the game, which was the biggest positive, you can hit us up on social media with that as well. With Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
This state in football history. Not only did the Chicago Bears lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday, Tony, but it was 96 years ago today that the Bears lost their first game. Of course, they did it as the Decatur Staleys. Mm-hmm. They lost 7-0, but the Chicago Bears franchise got started in 1920 in the inaugural season of, I guess, was it the All-American Football Conference at that point in time? Or was it the NFL? I think it was the AAFC.
I think it was the AAFC.
Something, the AAFC. All right, also in this date, 1983, I remember watching this game. My best friend at this time in 1983 was a big Redskin fan. So what did that make me, Tony? Redskin hater, right? That's kind of how I operate. Green Bay knocked off Washington on this date on Monday Night Football, 48-47. It was the highest scoring game in Monday Night Football history. The Packers and the Redskins combined for over 1,000 yards of total offense. Redskins lost their opener that year 31-30 to the Dallas Cowboys. They lost this game by 1 point. Only two regular season losses that they suffered. They were 14-2 with that slim a margin from being completely undefeated. Went through the playoffs in the NFC. Had a close win over San Fran in the NFC title game. Then absolutely got housed by the Oakland Raiders in the Super Bowl that year. Famous birthdays for this date? Well, famous is a relative term, but this is the best one I could come up with that people would probably know who he is. Willie Snead, the wide receiver of the New Orleans Saints. Happy 24th. Wow. Willie Snead, born in this date in 1992.
It's a weak day. Totally,
it was not a day full of memorable birthdays, but that is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger had to leave the Steelers' loss to the Miami Dolphins yesterday with an apparent knee injury. Roethlisberger is going to undergo surgery today to repair that knee, but the news is expected to be good. The injury is being called a torn meniscus, which we haven't had to deal with at all in Jacksonville to this point this year. The expectation is that the surgery is just a cleanup surgery, which would keep Big Ben sidelined for as little as 2 weeks, which means he may just miss one game and then come back after the team's bye. Very similar to what happened with both Jalen Ramsey during the Jaguars training camp and Ben Koyak here in Jacksonville, but we can't tell for sure until they begin surgery. And if the knee does require a repair as opposed to a cleanup, then Roethlisberger would be out for the rest of the season. Again, though, the surgery is expected to be a cleanup that would keep him out for a short time. Indianapolis running back Frank Gore ended the Colts' 55-game streak without a 100-yard rusher last night on Sunday Night Football. Gore had passed the 100-yard mark late in the fourth quarter, but on the same drive was tackled for a loss to put him back at 99 yards on the night. I think he would probably trade the killing of the streak for a win, as the only reason Gore got back on the field to go over the 100-yard plateau is because the Texans streaked down the field on the Colts defense to force overtime and give Gore a shot at one more carry in the extra period, on which he gained 7 yards to give him 106 on the night. And the most controversial ending on Sunday during week 6 of the NFL slate clearly goes to the final moments of Atlanta-Seattle, which essentially ended on a no-call on a deep pass from Matt Ryan intended for Julio Jones. Jones believes he was interfered with on the play, but no flag was thrown on Richard Sherman, who was in coverage for the Seahawks on the play. When asked whether he thought it should have been a penalty after the game, Jones said, quote, "I do. Before I took off, Sherman grabbed my right side, spun me around before I jumped up, but it was just a missed call. It's over with. It's done." Sherman, predictably, didn't share Jones or the Falcons' sentiments. And when asked after the game if he felt like he got away with one, Sherman said, quote, "No, I feel like we won the game. I mean, I feel like there was offensive pass interference on a few plays and they didn't get it. So it was just one of those games they let us play," end quote.
Yes, one of those games that certainly should have been flagged. Regardless, I mean, it's right in the middle of the field. How you don't see that as the referee, I don't know. By the way, Frank Gore is within striking distance of Tony Dorsett for 8th all-time on the NFL rushing list. He needs less than 300 yards to surpass Dorsett, and he needs about 800 to surpass Eric Dickerson. Eric Dickerson's rookie rushing record in jeopardy with the way Ezekiel Elliott's off to a start. Elliott is now ahead of pace. Keep in mind, Green Bay was averaging, giving up 2 yards per carry going into yesterday's game.
Back-to-back weeks where Zeke against defenses that haven't given up much on the ground is just cruising.
He's good. I don't know if you caught, I'm sure you did, but I don't know if everyone caught San Diego Denver on Thursday night. Joey Bosa looked like he was making an impact for
He's
that
flashing.
San Diego defense, right?
Yeah.
So now you take Goff out at the top, even if you want to throw Wentz in, because I think Wentz has exceeded expectations to this part with number two. But if you really, you focus on the non-quarterbacks, those first three picks, Bosa, Elliott, Ramsey, I think every team that selected those guys very happy with what they've gotten so far, just like we are with the Ozone. Johnny O is here. He's back.
Called a good draft.
That's a pretty good, certainly a good top five, minus Goff at the moment. The story will be written on him, but we're not worried about them right now.
Yeah, thanks for bringing up the 83 Skins, by the way. That was probably my most heartbreaking team.
Was it?
At least
the Super Bowl wasn't close for you, though.
Yeah, I mean, that team offensively, that year, it was an amazing stat that nobody, I mean, it's so far removed now. Their turnover ratio that year, I remember, was something insane. They forced like 55 turnovers and had like 12 giveaways.
Wow.
Or 18. I mean, it was something
absurd.
That'll
help you get to 14-2.
Yeah, I mean, it was something absurd like that, that when you look at it, there's a few stats that stick out over the course of history with some teams that are just almost ununderstandable. and that team's turnover ratio was one of them.
Oh, they beat the Rams in the playoffs 51-7, right?
I can name you every score.
Fran was
24-21.
That's correct.
But it was a controversial. There was two controversial pass interferences that went in Washington's favor at the end of that game. That 49ers fans will go to their graves swearing that they was robbed.
They was robbed. Maybe they was.
Yeah. And at the time, I was Joe fan.
I'm sure, right. Yeah, so, that's how it goes. So, when it's in the playoffs,
exactly.
Whatever, man. Talk to you next year.
They broke my heart. Broke my heart in the Super Bowl.
Two in a row for the Jags, though, Johnny.
Yeah.
That's the key here. A one-point victory, as I told Tony. Vandy foreshadowed it with their 17-16 win over Georgia.
Cunningham for president.
Such a harbinger for everything.
It really is. Right? Yeah, let's hope that's not the case for the Jags.
It's going to be a long last couple months is.
I mean, I heard on the way in I got some emails to this effect, just so down on Jalen Ramsey. And it's like, look, this kid is a rookie.
Right.
And had a rookie first half against a veteran player who knows what he's doing, knows the tricks. And Jalen kind of caught himself. And, you know, Jalen being a corner can't accept that he's going to lose a play. So he said, well, Jeffrey was using his arm a little bit to get off. And he caught himself and said, that's what veteran receivers do. It's the way it is. It's, you know, but all of that. That's going to be a cornerback's mentality. You don't get beat. There's something wrong with it.
Right. He had to do a little extracurricular or something because it couldn't have beaten me.
Right. But that's, you know, that's the inner competitiveness of this guy and just doesn't have any frame of reference for I'm not going to win this battle. And he can lose the last one. He's going to come back and win the next one. To make the play he did at the end of the game was an absolutely phenomenal play. The key there in the cornerback position is the first half not only didn't destroy his confidence, it didn't even occur to him that it might have happened. It's that kind of, you know, I say that as a positive in that this guy has the cornerback mentality. He's as ready, good, adapted to the NFL. I put him up there with guys I've covered. Baselli was ready when he came in. Bob Sanders and Indy was ready when he came in. There's a few guys who I've covered who just strike you as being unusual in that respect, and he's up there.
Which is why I think
he's really good.
When you critique him more harshly, when he has a first half like that, it's by his standard. But what we already have come to expect from him, it's not up to that standard. That's not killing Jalen Ramsey. That's not saying he's a bad player. He's a phenomenal player, and that's why you look at that and you say, wow. I made the point, if Dwayne Grotz had the same exact game, you would have said that's one of Dwayne Grotz's best games that he's ever had.
And in this league, for that level player, when you're a one-on-one with a guy, there was nothing really wrong with the throw at the end of the game. There was nothing really wrong with the route.
No.
It was,
he made a play.
It was Jalen Ramsey making a play that handful of guys on the planet can make.
All right, we got the Ozone here with us. We're going to take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll take some calls if you want to get in with John Osier, get his opinion, as we will ask him his takeaways from this victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars. 2-3 now after a 17-16 win over the Bears in Chicago with the
Ozone. It's a winning streak, Mike.
It is a streak. Two games is, in fact, a streak.
Officially a streak.
It's a small one, but it's a streak.
That's
all right, we'll take it. We're going to extend that out and hopefully get to 500 this week here in Jacksonville. With Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. This is Jaguars Today, live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Oh, Sunday in the park.
Yeah,
we're
Chicago.
In the South Bay. Oh, Chicago.
By Chicago.
I know the original name of the band was?
Chicago Transit.
There's a good man, Johnny O. Or
you're not
going to
beat me on,
like
1970s pop.
I'm with you. That's kind of my, that's kind of my sweet spot right there as well. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories. Everything from revolvers to sporting arms and just about everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA. Guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Visit guns4jax.com online. That's guns, the number 4, JAX.com. Or pop in and see them on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693 77 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. John Osier is here with us. We've got some callers on the line, John, so let's find out what's on their mind. Let me reset the question of the day out there on social media, and you're certainly welcome to call in and weigh in on this as well. It's brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. It's simply this: other than the outcome of the game, which is the big positive, you win in the National Football League, and it's a good win. But what is the biggest positive you take away from the performance of the Jags, and the biggest negative as well? As we go back to the lines, we have Harold on the west side next up. What's up, Harold? How are you?
What's going on, guys? I'm doing all right. I appreciate you taking my call.
You got it.
I just wanted to kind of weigh in, and one of the positives that I haven't heard, and if someone has brought it up, I apologize. I haven't heard anyone bring this up yet, and in my opinion, one of the biggest positives has got to be, and you can look at a better portion of the year, but Marquise Lee is finally starting to make plays in this offense. It looks like he could end up being that big play guy that we thought he was. You know, find a way to get him more into the game plan and get the ball down the field. But one of the things is you have to look at this team now, big picture, as the season is starting to go, starting to move along here. Now all of a sudden you've got a team that's 2-3, very easily could be 3-2, very easily could be 4-1. They're carrying momentum right now. They got to take that into Oakland against a coach that, if he won more games here in Jacksonville, would probably still be here. So it's not like he has the greatest track record of winning games in that stadium. And all that being said, you go out there, play well, find a way to win, and you look back at that play by Ramsey, that could very easily be a rookie making a play that saved the season. And one more thing I wanted to address, I heard the guys in the postgame talking about, well, if Hoyer threw that ball out a little bit farther. But the reason he put it right on the numbers is because he thought Alshon Jeffery was going to be wide-ass open when he came out of that break. I think Ramsey goaded him into throwing that, kept him in his comfort zone, and knew that he could make a dive on the ball when it was thrown. That's just an outstanding play by Jalen Ramsey.
Hey, we appreciate the call, Harold. I don't disagree with the outstanding play.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it had been further out if Jalen wouldn't have beat him to the ball. I mean, he was all over the route. Never gave him a chance. I mean, it was one of the better plays I've seen a Jaguars defensive back make in that situation in terms of aggressiveness, suddenness to the ball.
And so clean, too. There was not even a question that there was a flag going to come out or anything like that. It was just how you draw it up.
No, I'm not going to advocate moving him to free safety anymore, Mike.
You okay with him in corner?
You're over that?
You okay with him as a lockdown guy?
I'll stick with him there.
What about Marquise Lee? Your thoughts on where he's fitting in the offense?
Well, first of all, credit to him because, knock on whatever this is.
What substitute?
Injuries haven't been an issue, this year. And he's learned or been able to excel in a role that I don't know if it's not comfortable to him, but you think of him as a downfield big play guy, 18 yards over the middle, and he's been able to contribute on shorter routes. The route he ran in the end zone to draw or to instigate the hold was a really good little route there. He made the play at the end of the game where he helped get them in range for the touchdown just with his quickness and his speed getting around a defender, which is not difficult to do in a league of elite-level athletes to look that much faster and quicker than the guy you're playing. Broke some tackles yesterday. I wrote in my what we learned this morning, this team needs to get him more involved. And the one thing he brings that's really good for Bortles right now is he's the one guy who has that ability to get so open that he creates easy throws if you can get the timing right. And he's done those a couple of times where he's created easy 8-yard throws that he's been able to turn into 15 yards. I would put him back on kickoff returns. I'd put him in the game. I would start trying to use this guy as a weapon.
Well, it's interesting because the patterns that you highlighted that they're using him on, a lot of crossing stuff, a lot of short stuff. His average yards per catch is way lower than you'd expect it to be for a guy as explosive as him. So,
but it feels a lot more productive than that.
Absolutely.
Overall.
But
right.
There's a lot of hidden upside in his game right now. And, Tony and I took
some
calls.
Not to interrupt. Over the course of five games, he's made some pretty big plays where he's caught the ball short of the sticks and turned it into first downs that have really helped this offense in some key situations. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was saying that people were calling in early in the season when the Jags weren't winning, saying that the attention to Marquise Lee is disrupting this offense. It's, it's just another outlet for a guy. The more weapons you have, the better. I don't think they're saying we have to get Marquise the ball 8 times this week or 6 times this week or whatever.
Yeah, If that's disrupting the offense, there's another issue somewhere.
All right, let's move along to Luke on the north side next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Luke. Luke. All right, let's move on to Ken on the west side. Luke, you got to pay attention to your phone, not the radio.
Missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity. Ken on the west side, you're next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on? I just want to give a shout-out to the Jaguars, and you guys, too. You guys do a great job every Monday. I just wanted to say the defense, you know, that's 2 weeks in a row that critical fourth down plays the Jaguars stepped up, especially this week, because they didn't step up this week. That would have been a field goal game over. But I just want to give a shout-out. That's young guys making critical plays at critical times. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Thank
we
you.
More shout outs.
Yeah.
That was a good call.
It was a good call. You know, we talked about this last week when you were in here with me on Monday, John, just looking at the first month of the season.
That's why he thinks we're good on Mondays, by the way. I wasn't here last week.
But it's the first month of the season and now into game five. I the most pleasant surprise on this football team is clearly just how much this defense has grown up so early in this season. They just keep giving this team opportunities to win games.
Well, and Hayes Carlin of the Times Union was asking players about this yesterday, and when he asked it, it made me think of it, and he's right. Four out of the five games, the defense has made a really critical stop late to either ice the game or to put the team in position to win. It's hard to blame the defense for Baltimore, considering how many stops, how many fourth quarter turnovers it got. It made plays to win. If you think about Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers in the fourth quarter, they got the ball back in a really crucial situation, had confused Aaron Rodgers enough where he took two straight timeouts. They were doing something right in that game. That's really what you judge an NFL defense on beyond yards. Can you shut it down in the fourth quarter? Do you feel like when you're watching a defense like they're going to get the opponent off the field when it matters in the fourth quarter? So far this season, they've done a much better job doing that than they did last year.
Back to the phones we go. Daryl on the north side next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Daryl.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
I have a question. Well, not a question, but an opinion. And I want to see if you guys agree. I think that our offense, I think we need to utilize Walters a little bit more. After the Colts game, I called in on the fifth quarter. And, I mean, teams are doing it all around the league. I don't know if you watched the Dallas game yesterday, but Beasley had a big game yesterday. And I really think that, I understand that Green his skill level and Marquise Lee's skill level may be, you know, a little bit better than Walters, but I think he has something to offer, but he hasn't been given, in my opinion, hasn't been given that chance. New England has been doing it with the little scat slot receiver. I mean, teams are doing it all around the league, but we have not used that yet here. I want to get
well,
your guys'
you just answered, you answered your own question, though. You just said Marquise Lee has a better skill level, and that's the guy that they're using in that role right now. I mean, if you want to get Walters more involved, who are you taking away the passes from, right, in this offense would be my question. Are you not going to throw it to Marquise Lee as much or Allen Robinson or Allen Hurns as much? I mean, they've got
– Yeah, I don't think anybody on the staff is anti-Brian Walters. It's just, as you said, Mike, when you've got a Marquise Lee in that situation, who, again, the ability that Marquise has is you can throw him the ball with a defender 2 yards off, and he's got a pretty high percentage chance of making the guy miss and going. And if he does make the guy miss, he's going quite a ways. So I don't know that Brian has that to that degree, so that's the skill you're taking off the field is that potential for an explosive.
He's a reliable guy with a really solid pair of hands, and that's good. And he's got a place on this team, but his place is right now as a depth guy, both as a punt returner and a you know, kind of a fourth or fifth wide receiver.
Right now they've got six wide receivers who, if they have to play, you're not feeling bad about them.
No.
And that's a situation that they've really worked on that spot and gotten deep, and everybody really brings a strength. So
put it this way. If Bill Belichick had got a hold of Marquise Lee, right, and a few years back, instead of Welker, do you not think he would have been just as explosive and dynamic in that similar role, that, and maybe even other roles as well because of
Welker
the speed that he had?
Was uncommonly reliable.
And so
productive.
Is Edelman, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to compare, hard to project what a guy would be in that. I think the big story with Marquise Lee is, this time last year, I couldn't stay on the field, but, you know, and I think right now what they asked him to do was be reliable, practice every day, show you're going to be there. I'm not sure what else he can do on that level to show that he deserves more.
Thank you for the call. Let's move along to Chris in Green Cove Springs next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Chris.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question as far as Blake Bortles struggling with the offense and trying to move the ball at times. Why is Allen Robinson number one, you know, then Hearns, Lee, hey, let's get – then the other guy just called and said, let's get Brian Walters involved. Why is Julius Thomas, like, just a forgotten man? Is the general manager, when they try to sign these free agents, I mean, don't they sit down with the coaching staff and say, hey, let's design a plan for this guy? Not just, you know, they totally forgot about this guy. He's supposed to be a marquee guy that they brought in to help move the chains. If the running game's struggling, why not work a short passing game with Lee across the middle, and then Julius Thomas?
What do you think?
Over the course of the season, I don't really get the idea that Julius Thomas is a forgotten man in terms of targets. He didn't play against Indy over four games. I thought he was targeted quite a bit in the first two or three games of the season when he played. So, I'd like to see him more involved. I also think short accuracy on routes where Julius Thomas runs in that 14 range hasn't really been Blake's strength.
No.
So
what is right now?
Well, fourth quarter clutch plays have been pretty good the last couple weeks. I think that counts for something.
You know what that counts for? You know what that tells me, at least, or I think it tells me, is that when he's pressing way too much.
Yeah.
Because when you go in the fourth quarter, you're down two touchdowns. You know what? Forget it. We got to go. And you can't even think about what's come before. And I think it allows him to play freely and just not worry about the outcome.
And there are frustrating things when you look back on Blake's games in this sense. There was a play, I think we talked about it during the break. Early third quarter yesterday, he's got you talk about Julius Thomas. He's got Julius Thomas very open by NFL standards on about, I think it was like a 15-yard route, overthrew him by 10 feet. But he comes back later in that quarter, maybe in the second, where he throws a 25-yard pass on the pass that Hearns got hit on, where he was down.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding pass. And you look at a pass like that and you think, man, it's there. That's what he can do. Doesn't do it consistently enough, and that's a conundrum, dilemma, whatever you call it right now with Blake.
All right, we got to take a timeout here. Don't forget, by the way, I don't think we've given away the tickets yet, Tyler, have we, to Jags Raiders? We still got those, so be listening for the Steal the Show lady, and that will be your cue to call. if you are, call
number 4. I hope O'Halloran's listening.
At 641-1010. You mean the second most popular Jaguars Today host here? Ryan O'Halloran, that guy?
I'm done.
Oh, my God. 20%. I haven't even gotten to that point yet. We'll get to that when we come back now. But, again, 641-1010 when you hear the Steal the Show lady and be the fourth caller. You will win a pair of tickets to go see the Jags and the Raiders and go to drawing for dinner with some Derek Marks at Three Forks, as well as a set of Jaguar-themed rings, as well from who are those from, Tyler? Global Diamonds, of course, are from Global Diamonds. I was testing to see if you knew, and you did. I'm very proud of you. All right, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, John Osier here with you on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, congratulations to Scott, who is our winner of tickets to go see the Jaguars and the Raiders play.
It's a big one.
Upcoming Sunday. It's a very big one.
JDR.
They're all big, right? JDR and then Mularkey in back-to-back games. In a, what would that be, a four-day span. You get the, Mel Tucker, where is he, at Georgia right now?
Yeah. He's at Georgia, yeah.
Right? Well, he took his loss
this
weekend. So, we don't get to play him. But he did help set up the 17-16 feel for the weekend with Vandy knocking off the Bulldogs.
I guess he did.
So, Mel Tucker contributing as well. Congrats to Scott. We've got another pair of tickets that this show will give away on Wednesday. And Scott goes into a drawing to potentially win dinner with Derek Marks at Three Forks and Global Diamonds also with a set of Jaguar-themed rings, one grand prize winner at the end of the season. But in the meantime, congrats, and we will Give away another pair on this show and others throughout the week on all the other shows as well.
Midnight I keep Chalk, saying that'll Franchi. Be a good prize.
That is a good prize.
Dinner with, I mean, there's some players, you know, quite frankly, dinner with me, eh. I'm kind of boring at dinner.
But you may be.
Sen but is would, terrific to spend
we,
time with.
Can we set up a dinner with John Osher?
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
I hate people.
Come on. Who in this room? Tony likes them.
All right.
You'd say you don't hate them more than me.
People?
Yeah.
Oh, people are the worst.
No. Come on. You're such a liar. I think we should do that. We should do a dinner with the least popular Jaguars Today weekly host.
Unfortunately for me, nobody. Fortunate for me, it sounds like nobody would be interested anyway.
Aussie Jag put the poll up last week. I believe it finished up Loggeman 35, I want to say. I think it was 23 for O'Halloran. Some people like the angry side of the street. And 22 for Garrard and a flat 20 for John Osher.
Yeah.
So you got my vote anyway. You're my favorite.
If you ain't losing, you ain't trying. That's not what it
tell
is.
Tell everybody
is
else they're my favorite too the rest of the week. Let's get Mark in Mandarin before we get to the fan feedback spotlight. He wants to talk about Blake Bortles. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning.
What's up, man?
Hey, I appreciate a win, but it seems to me that when Bortles is pressing, as you talked about earlier, he's got this big windup that he's developed. I haven't gone back and looked at any previous year games, but my gosh, it's almost like we got Tebow out there.
Oh, no. I do think it may not be as exaggerated as Leftwich's was, but it's I watch it to my eye. I see it even on some of the short stuff. I get it if you got to put a little oomph and you got to fire that ball, 40, 50 yards downfield, John, but just some of the basic crossing stuff, I think he sees it, but that extra, we understand. I mean, Jalen Ramsey breaks up that pass. If he's there a half second late or a half second early, it may be interference or two, the catch is completed. This game is about precision in a large way, and
yeah,
that
it's
is
funny.
Throwing
I
off timing.
I didn't see it in the first couple of weeks of the preseason, but it certainly it doesn't look very sound right now.
And right.
Which, I wish it wasn't true, but that's what it looks like.
Now, he said last week nobody's talking to him about mechanics and footwork and all those things, and that may or may not be the case. I don't know, but I see it, and
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't have an answer for it.
Yeah, historically, those things are very difficult to tweak and address and hone during the season just because there's not time. You're working on game plan. You're just trying to go with what you got, and you got to work on them in the offseason.
I think historically they're tough to tweak, period.
Yeah.
If you really look at it, and that's why last year was pretty remarkable. Mm-hmm. He worked with Tom House, and I think some of that was directly responsible for his leap in production last year. I mean, 35 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Even with 18 picks. 18 picks is a lot. He's on pace for, about 22, 23 interceptions right now. He's got 7 through 5 games, and he's only on pace for about 25, 26 touchdowns. Yeah. So
he's having the year this year that I kind of thought he'd have last year.
Exactly.
I kept kind of saying before the 2015 season, I think it was, before his second season, that I thought he'd throw more touchdowns than picks, but I thought it would be 25, 20, something, 22, 18, whatever. And he didn't really do that last year. But again, a lot of the stuff last year, a lot of stuff that's going on this year was there last year with the slow starts, with the decision making. It's more the pocket presence that's a concern to me, even than the accuracy. The last play, the fourth quarter play where the fumble happened, could have and probably should have been a crucial play in the game. And it was really just a matter of him not being aware of what's going on behind him, and you've got to hold that ball with two hands. So those are the things that the little detail things that can really hurt you that have hurt so far this season.
All right, let's take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. We just asked, other than the outcome of the game, which is certainly the biggest positive, what were your one big positive and negative takeaway from the Jags' performance? Tony, what do we get?
Here's what we got from Josh. Positive, Jalen freaking Ramsey. Negative, the running game from Amish Jaguar. Offense still bad. Defense still good from Senior Fuentes. Positive, we played like crap and won. Negative, third down on both sides of the football. From Cody, negative, Jags offense almost unwatchable at times. Positive, Bears fan got knocked out after the game after attacking a Jaguars fan. From Jags and Goats, positive Jalen Ramsey's unbreakable confidence. Aurelius Ben's inspiring story. Negative Blake's consistency. From Chris, we got biggest positive, got two in a row, we got a comeback win, huge morale boost. From Irish Jaguar, positive Jalen adjusting and taking care of business in that second half. The negative Blake after the interception and before the fourth quarter. It was a really bad stretch there. From Brian, biggest positive is we didn't quit when we could have. Negative is we still can't run the ball. From Michael, upside is the Jags was they got it together in the fourth and made a great comeback. From Jarrell, positive the moon moved. Negative, another slow start. Hashtag Victory Monday. From Alvaro, positive the defensive cohesiveness. Negative, not running the ball. And from Sammy, the D's resilience and toughness with lopsided time of possession. And then Blake's recently devolving Leftwich-like throws. So a lot of criticism there for Blake. And I think that's where it starts right now with trying to figure out how to turn this thing around, really, on that offensive side.
Here's a handful on Facebook. Negative, our running game is like the Colts defense, in quotes, dog crap. positive, the defense played well enough to make up for the poor offensive play. Daniel said, positive, Ramsey was exposed but adjusted quickly. Negative, too much Scooter, not enough Jack on the field. Jason said, positive, way to steal the show in the end. And the negative was Olsen's play calls the first three quarters. Chad said the defense held the Bears to 16 points. I take it that's the positive there. Didn't give us a negative. That's fine. Damon said positive after that horror fest first half. They gutted it out and won, and that's what potentially good teams do. Negative, not enough Miles Jack, and the offense playing like lame ducks for three quarters. Skyler said negative, Bortles stormtrooper accuracy. They never seem to hit with those blasters. And the positive fourth quarter coaching and performance. Glad he mentioned the coaching. That call to back him up, thought it was the right call at the time. It turned out to be the right call. When it was third down, and it would have been fourth and about six, right? And there's a 10-yard penalty. If you stop them on fourth down, you're going to get the ball back, but you're trying to force them to go about 8 yards on consecutive plays. Mm-hmm. And you can argue, you know, it's always that debate. Do you give them two shots at it or do you give them one shot at it? They made them make two plays, figuring they wouldn't give up the big one. They didn't. They gave up something underneath. Now go prove that you can do it again, and they couldn't do it again. So kudos to Gus Bradley. Had they completed that pass on fourth down, I have no doubt, John, it would have been a stream of, what an idiot.
Sure.
Why do you give them an extra snap?
Well, the school of thought is you push back as far from field goal position as you can get. As often as you can get. And
when a field goal will beat you.
Right. And they'd have been criticized. You know, I actually got an email criticizing Gus for talking to the booth during that, like for talking in his headset to somebody during that, trying to figure out what's going on. Well, isn't that what you're supposed to make sure you're making the right call there?
Right.
And I think they wind up making the right call. It is a tough spot because your instinct is, hey, we can get these guys off the field on fourth and six and end the game. But you push them back and you make them do it twice.
Right, because let's say, you know, the worst case scenario, they throw incomplete on that third down after you backed them up. And then they got the one more play and they hit a 20-yarder. And you're like, oh, man, why didn't we would have the incomplete?
Sure.
You don't know because they could have run a completely different play. By the way, three consecutive texts in on the text line driven by Duval Ford. First one, ha-ha, these are all from different people. Ha-ha, people are the worst. Johnny O speaking from the heart. Just for that reason, I would be interested in eating dinner with you, John. Second one, to sit and eat with any member of the Jags or 1010XL would be a pleasure and an honor. Even John, LOL.
Even, right.
Yes, okay. And then third, let's have dinner, John, OSHA-approved hard hat. Is what he went with for you.
Oh, I know who that's from.
Do you? All right.
Yeah, it's from a friend.
All right, well, there you go. At least you have one.
Friends count.
You've got one out there. So three consecutive
votes. That's three votes, which may change the perception on the voting last week.
What if I talk to Bolt City Batman and he brings us a fine selection of dandy sandwiches one morning?
He'd probably vote for me too.
Maybe some
breakfast
sliders. And then we could have someone come in and join us, and we could all enjoy a dandy brunch.
I'm on a roll. Vote early and vote often.
All right. Johnny, what do you have coming up in the next few days?
Covering the Gus Bradley presser today and just getting this thing started for JDR coming to town.
JDR.
Probably give him a big hug.
Raiders right now would have a bye in the playoffs. You realize, even with the loss yesterday, number two team in the AFC.
Yeah, and, you know, this is, again, we've been saying it all along, this is one where all of a sudden, you know, you win it here at home and then you're 3-3 and back, you know. It hasn't been pretty. It doesn't feel like a winning streak, but
Just win, baby.
And they're back in it.
We're stealing that from the Raiders. We're stealing their hearts, and we're stealing their slogan. Doesn't matter. Just win. Get to 500. Yeah. 500 in October?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? Right, what, you know, what franchise are we
and
talking
it's the
about?
Old thing. I mean, it's right there. Yeah. Just now.
Just one more. We'll worry about Tennessee next week. Go get Oakland.
Sure.
Right? Enjoy this one today. You should enjoy it as a Jaguar fan. Nothing we say. Any critique we have shouldn't take away from your enjoyment whatsoever. I'm enjoying the hell out of the fact. Tony, what happened when Frank, again, we had the radio call ahead of the TV call. When that ball was batted down, did I jump off the couch?
No, you definitely did.
About three inches, but that's all I can get.
For all the fans who just don't want to celebrate, I do think it should be pointed out again if you didn't see it at the end of the TV broadcast. This is only the second time in this franchise's history it's been down 13 points in a fourth quarter and won a football game.
Absolutely.
Only the second time in its history it's done that, and the other was Baltimore in 96, which began that magical run they had at the end of that season. I'm not saying I expect 96 to happen here, but understand that's something that you have not seen in 20 years from your football team that they got done yesterday.
And it's hard to do it on the road. They've won twice away from this place in a row. They're coming back here with a much better feeling than they left after the loss to Baltimore.
No question.
And that's what you had to do.
You know what?
Figure out a way to survive.
Win ugly, win pretty, just win for now.
Right, they figured out a way to survive.
For now. Do that again this week, and we're going to be happy with the result again and continue to stack a few up. John Osier on Twitter, simply at John Osier, not at Osier approved a hard hat, but you know where to find him at Jaguars.com as well. John, thanks for the time, buddy.
All right, guys, thank you.
All right, there he goes for Fat Tony. For Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. That wraps it up for Jaguars today. Thanks to all our great sponsors. None more important than our title sponsor on Mondays, Wild West Guns and Gold. We will come back and we'll talk to the fellows of Midday Chalk next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The moon is going to move, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be back.
You guys have a good day. Peace.